WHEY.com.
Oh, what a weekend of football and politics, my favorites. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're kicking off the week with a lot of exciting things here in this hour of ATN. Did anybody nail the score? We're going to tell you at the tail end of the hour. Plus, let you hear the highlights. Who won? Who lost? How close was it? I can tell you it was very, very close. A lot closer than the South Carolina primary was. What's interesting is Newt Gingrich was taking a lot of shots from ABC. Specifically, Brian Ross interviewed his ex-wife, his second ex-wife, who said he was married to her for 18 years. Her name is Marianne, said that Newt wanted her to have an open marriage. So that was all over the place, but it didn't take a bite out of ultimately his win in South Carolina. He scored pretty big. Now, heading into South Carolina, a lot of people thought Gingrich would do well because of a couple of factors. The heavy conservative flavor of South Carolina, being in the South, he's a Southerner, and a couple of other factors weighed heavily on his side of the ledger. However, if you were looking at all the polls really had reported that Mitt Romney was the guy. He's the guy. He's ahead in all the polls. Even if it's just by a couple of points, he's still ahead. So the polls didn't really work out for Mitt Romney whatsoever. Newt Gingrich won Saturday's GOP presidential primary with a huge Lazarus-like stunning turnaround for a guy who finished fourth in Iowa and New Hampshire, and really whose campaign had been left on the side of the road like roadkill. 95% of the polling places had Gingrich at 40%, so it's really 41% where he finished, if you wanted to get technical about it. The former Massachusetts governor, Mitt Romney, got 27%. And let me, because there's only four candidates, let me finish all the way through. Former Senator Rick Santorum, 17%, and current Congressman Ron Paul had 13%. So in his victory speech, Gingrich thanked everyone in South Carolina who decided, he said, to be with us in changing Washington. A couple of the other things that he mentioned, he said it was sobering to have so many people who wanted to get their country back on track, so many people who are concerned about jobs and medical costs and everyday parts of life who feel that, and he keeps using this word a lot in the beginning of the campaign, you know, back in June for the very first ever debate. He used the word elites. He said, who feel that the elites in Washington and New York have no understanding, no care, no concern, no reliability, and do not represent them at all. This is a big thing that we have talked about forever on America Tonight. There's no doubt that so many of us are disillusioned by what is happening in Washington. As I said, walking around Washington, talking to think tanks and other people last week, it really gives you this sense that, wow, how does this become such a machine? And you look at these brilliant buildings. They were working on the Washington Monument when I was there. And you see the history. You can feel it, touch it, see it. And it makes you want to cry because you think that this is just not working. This has got to end. It's got to stop. So Newt is carrying that threat. That's been his banner, and he's pushing it. But so is everybody else that's running on the Republican side. Ron Paul says the same thing. He goes after the financial problems and the ridiculousness of the Federal Reserve and the absolute power they have. And what are we doing, spending so much money in places where we don't need to keep paying and have so many of our soldiers on guard, so to speak? Why are we not taking them out of there and then we can use that money? So there are common themes, and the common thread is seems to be the same thing, but Gingrich is really the guy that tried to own that lane from the beginning, the lane that we need to go in a completely different direction here when it comes to getting back on track, especially with jobs. And you got four people left, four possibilities, and a lot of primary real estate ahead, because that's how the system works, right? After all, you've got to get the nomination. So Florida, January 31st. Then you head into February and you got a whole bunch of caucuses and primaries. Ultimately, on March 6th, you have Super Tuesday. A lot of primaries and caucuses then. And if we were to go all the way through, it doesn't end until the end of June. I think by then you probably somebody is pretty closer to grabbing this thing. I always thought it would probably be Super Tuesday, but maybe it's not going to be Super Tuesday. It's going to be very interesting to watch this thing play out. I mean, this is a reality show that's not over after a month. It's been picked up and renewed, and it's going to keep on going. It's going to keep on going. So Newt Gingrich, his big thing to go after Mitt Romney on, besides Bain Capital and how many jobs were lost and that kind of stuff, is the tax issue, because Newt Gingrich released his taxes. So he wants to know why one of his opponents, Mitt Romney, won't do that.
The level of anger at the national establishment. People who are just sick and tired of being told what they're allowed to think, what they're allowed to say. I think that's a very good thing he's doing, and I commend him for it, and I think it's exactly the right thing to do. And as far as I'm concerned, that particular issue is now set aside.
Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
All right, we're back here in Washington, D.C. As I keep saying, we're at the epicenter of what's happening, and there's a lot happening, obviously, in Washington. We have Congressman John Sarbanes with us from Maryland. And Congressman Sarbanes, thanks so much for coming over to our little tiny slice of the world
here. My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you a lot about health care, but before we dive into that, I'd be remiss to not ask you about what's going on with piracy, anti-piracy mm-hmm. laws, and the several bills that have been floating around, and we saw that it cracked open in the House. I've read your stance on it, but tell the listening audience how you feel about that, because a lot of people will call this show and say, oh, it's censorship.
Right.
But then I have people in Los Angeles who say, wait a second, I'm in the entertainment business, and we're getting ripped off. Ultimately, what's happening here?
What we're trying to do is we're trying to achieve a balance between protecting intellectual property and copyright and content that gets generated, and that's a valid goal, of course, on the one hand, balance that with making sure that we keep the Internet free and open and accessible. And that's the debate that's now been launched, and, you know, thanks to outfits like Wikipedia and Google and others who've flagged this issue in the last few days in a major kind of fashion, we're having that debate now on these bills, and I think, frankly, others that are going to come forward, which are going to try to achieve maybe a better balance than what we're seeing at the present moment.
This is kickball. It's still coming up. It's going. It's going to go back and forth.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a very spirited debate on this and a healthy debate, frankly, about it. And both sides have very good points to be made, and that's why we got to try to achieve a workable compromise.
Yeah. Speaking of compromise, you know, you see what's going on, and again, this is the frustration that I'll hear from listeners all over the country, from Maine and Connecticut and Dallas, Texas, and you know, where all the places that we air, they'll say, and I talked to Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz about this. And I've talked to several of your colleagues on the Republican side and the Democratic side, that there's this massive log jam, and how can we get rid of this gridlock? And what several of them told me is that's not really true, that's exaggerated, is that there's so much that's going on, and yes, there are spirited debates and disagreements, but we are trying to work together. What would you say to the audience about that?
You know, we always start the day wanting to work together. But there are things that conspire against that. There's frankly a media, and I'm not pointing a finger at you, but there are some elements of the media that are intent in creating controversy over every single step that we take there. And so what starts to happen is you live in this bubble where it's hard to have a conversation without it getting potentially misconstrued. I think the influence of money in politics is also having a tremendous impact. And I mean it in this fashion. If, as Larry Lessig, who just wrote a book about this, if, as he estimates, the average member of Congress is spending 30 to 70% of their time fundraising, it means, number one, we can't pay as much attention to the legislation, but number two, we can't build the relationships with each other that allow you to overcome the partisanship that's out there right now. I mean, think about this. When Orrin Hatch and Ted Kennedy were able to reach compromise on important legislation, it wasn't because they agreed ideologically. They were as far apart on the spectrum as you could be. They had developed a friendship over time. But in this world in which we're living, you don't have time to develop those relationships. It's hard enough with people in your own party, let alone people on the other side of the aisle. So I think we all come into the chamber, we all come to Washington each day desiring to be able to work together. But then it's very hard to do because of some of these structural things that are in place. And I think that's why it's so important that we advance public financing of campaigns. We find a way to get the money out of politics, to get the influence of the special interests reduced and contained again, because it's out of control. You're seeing it in the form of these super PACs right now and the influence that they're going to have. They're basically buying up the political system right now.
Right. Bravo, I agree with that. You have a little bit of an advantage because you can go back and forth with Washington. I'm sure you love that because you can be on the ground a lot but still be home.
I'm one of the few who has the opportunity to leave the echo chamber every day to get back to the real world, to kind of put Washington in my rearview mirror, put it in perspective, and stay grounded. And I wouldn't trade that. I mean, it's about 2.5 hours plus total of commuting every day to do that, but I wouldn't trade that for anything because, you know, it keeps you grounded. You get back, you talk to real people, you understand what their perspective is on Washington and the progress that we need to make on some of these issues. So I value that very, very highly.
All right, so Congressman Sarbanes, you heard in that conversation there a couple of different things. One, the whole piracy thing in the internet is going nowhere, and it shows you what we often say, power of the people. If more people were active in what was going on in government that you didn't like, things that were flying under the wire, then maybe you could help push back against that. And Wikipedia going dark certainly helped that, and more people being aware of what was happening to say, hey, listen, here's what's going on with the internet and your rights. So thumbs up to everybody who wrote, complained, and participated in that conversation. What it ultimately results in, though, is, yes, this is something that's a futuristic discussion, but for now, that discussion has been tabled. It's been iced. It's been put on a shelf, if you will, because it's radioactive, so now nobody wants to touch it, especially in an election year. And speaking of an election year, this is something that we've talked about, and you may know, but if you haven't heard it yet, Congresswoman, Gabrielle Giffords from Arizona announced that she's going to resign from Congress this week to concentrate on focusing on recovering from the wounds that she suffered when she was shot point blank a little more than a year ago in that awful, awful assassination attempt that really rocked this country, where 6 people were killed and 13 others were wounded. So she informed the governor she's going to give her resignation formally to John Boehner, the Speaker of the House in Arizona. What they'll do is they'll end up eventually with a general election and somebody to take Giffords' place for her remaining time in Congress. She's in until 2013. Whoever would be elected would fill those shoes until that time, and maybe beyond, who knows, but whoever ends up getting that. But it makes sense. She realized that as much as they were pushing and trying to get her back, how could she really focus on what she had to do when you think of the brain injuries she sustained and then trying to work within the system from afar and at the same time accomplish what she's trying to do with that rehab. But I think it's incredible how far she's come. If you've known anyone that's had any kind of a brain injury whatsoever, it's just amazing to watch her get better and better and better, but she's still having problems with speech and that kind of stuff. So there's no problem with speech when it came to what's going on in South Carolina. We mentioned that at the top, Newt Gingrich with a big win. That's a huge part of the conversation that will continue into next week, because now the push is on for Florida, so everybody will be in Florida stumping, and you can bet that this is a huge primary all the way around for Mitt Romney, for Rick Santorum, for Ron Paul, and for Newt Gingrich, because Ron Paul is not going to get out of this thing, and he's somebody who could fracture the party. In fact, if he wanted to veer off and start that third party that we've talked about running under the libertarian label, it would be interesting to see what the Republicans would do. I don't think they'd be too happy, because still there is a core a group of supporters for Ron Paul, not the establishment Republican types who will not go for Ron Paul. But there are a chorus of young people and others pushing for Paul. Many of you, I've said it before, we had our little mock poll, and we did it over a three-week period. If you remember, Herman Cain was pretty popular, so a lot of people liked Cain. They thought he was authentic and plain-spoken, and many of you were rooting for Herman Cain, but just as many were rooting for Ron Paul, too. In fact, Mitt Romney finished really toward the bottom. It was a reversal of a pyramid of what we've seen. Newt Gingrich has been in that bottom four for the past the Iowa caucus in New Hampshire, and now in South Carolina, he turned things around. So I guess if it shows one thing, every state is different, and in this primary, there's nobody that's locked it up yet at this point in these primaries as we go along. Every state, you have a different kind of voter. In Florida, you have a lot of fractured voting with the Republicans, really, if you look at it. You have core conservatives. You have Cuban Americans who tend to go conservative, but which way would they vote here? You know, which way would they go? Whole lot more coming your way next. Stay with us on America Tonight.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play your music. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for. All I worship and adore. In other words.
We're back on America Tonight. If you want to throw in your two cents on the South Carolina primary or anything that we've been talking about here in America Tonight, feel free to chime in, including Joe Paterno's legacy. A lot of people are saying, look, Paterno died as a scapegoat and as somebody whose legacy was tainted thanks to the school pushing him under the bus, because he did go up the chain of command when it came to his assistant coach, Jerry Sandusky. And the bottom line is he was booted in November and he dies at the age of 85. Now, afterwards, of course, there were problems with his health that he was dealing with, and the school will have to figure out what they do to recognize Joe Paterno. Maybe what they're going to end up doing, I've said this before, is they're going to wait to the football season and figure out if they're going to have something on the field or whatnot. But this is a dicey territory for them, especially since they let him go. And now, and this, you know, he was fired amid this whole child sex abuse scandal that really scarred his reputation, let's face it, because he was all about winning with integrity, and he had an 85% graduation rate, and now he dies Sunday at the age of 85, and all kinds of people are coming out of the woodwork to talk about how great Joe Pa was to them, what a mentor he was, and that kind of thing. And the school is left figuring out ultimately what they're going to do to recognize Paterno. So throw in your two cents on that or anything else, 800-259-5791. A lot of you bombarded me over the weekend. The mailbag was full. I was excited to see that. And so let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you very much. All right, I got this note from Tim Farnham who says, Kate, what a game. We found another way to win. I'm so proud of our defense today. The Ravens place kicker was spotted going straight to the car before he was traded. Much happiness to the Kraft family on earth and in heaven. Regards, Kim from Vermont. Obviously a fan of the Patriots. And by the way, of course I watched both of those games, and we've got highlights coming up for you in our next segment. I know a lot of you will want to know if somebody nailed the score. I'm just going to tease you like a television anchor person and say you'll have to hang on to find out. But I will tell you that the Ravens lost to New England. You heard what she had to say. And the final score was 23-20. And the Giants, in overtime, beat San Francisco 20-17. So some low-scoring games, much lower than I thought, especially in the New England game. And Tom Brady wasn't so much the reason for the win. I think Kim had it right. It was all about the defense. We're going to talk about that in our next segment. Also on the minds of many of you, including Al listening to us, not Al in Canada, Al listening to us in Austin says, Kate, wow, what about Newt Gingrich? I'm kind of iffy on Newt, and I got to be honest, I thought the crap with his ex-wives was ridiculous, especially for someone preaching the family and family values. But there are other things that I like about Newt, and so he certainly hit at the heart of all of that in South Carolina. He certainly did. I think that in a way the ABC thing helped him because the fact that it came out right before the primary and that was played up a lot, and the fact that he said that his daughters wrote a letter to ABC and whatnot and said that they were available to talk to ABC and so on and so forth, and that he thought it was poor timing, typical of the media and what they do, and that the media protects Obama, and a lot of people feel that way. So he did strike a chord there. You could see in the last debate in South Carolina on Thursday that people in the audience gave him a standing ovation when he decided to fight back on the question as to whether, you know, about his wife and his second wife and what she had to say about the open marriage and how do you respond to that and that kind of thing. And because he answered the only way really he could answer, I think he scored big with a lot of the people that were there in South Carolina. Not that he ran away with the thing. He did take it from the beginning. He knew. He had 41% of the vote. Romney had 27. And remember, this is a primary. Rick Santorum got 17%, and Ron Paul had 13%. So now what happens in Florida? What happens the rest of the way in these primaries? To me, that's going to be the fun thing. This is the sporting event now, watching to see what happens in each one of these primaries, because it's important. The person who takes the most primaries and gets the most delegates is the person who wins, along with the most marbles, wins. We know how that works. Mitt Romney took a cue from being attacked on the stage about the whole tax thing. So he's releasing his tax return, his 2010 tax return, and an estimate of his 2011 tax liability on Tuesday, which I thought it was stupid. He should have released it anyway. Romney gives away a bunch of money. There's really not much that he's trying to hide, I don't think, at all. Everybody knows he makes money on him, has lived on his investments, and he's got a ton of dough. So that's not the issue. The issue was to let it become an issue. And he was smart to get in front of this and announce, hey, I'm releasing this, boom, you know, that's it. So not heading into Florida with that whole thing hanging over his, you know, his head. Now what happens to Rick Santorum is going to be interesting, because he says that he's getting more money and he's going to start to air ads. He was the guy who didn't have hardly any money and was really running on shoe leather, let's face it, where he went to see everybody in Iowa, and it really paid off for him. And when we say everybody, he was in
he was in every nook and cranny of that state that you can imagine. And ultimately, when all the results came in, they went in the way of, you know, went the way of Santorum. And then you've got Ron Paul, who is trying to amass, like everybody else, as many delegates to the convention as possible. And he's got a strategy planned for that. He absolutely has some solid, loyal support. And he is not getting out of this thing anytime soon. So what happens in the rest of these primaries? In polling, boy, a lot of times he looks really, really good. And I don't think you count him out either. That's what makes this whole thing so interesting. Now, who is the former Florida Governor Jeb Bush? He's pretty popular. Who is he going to endorse? That's what's the source of conversation. A lot of people that I talk to in Washington seem to think that Bush was going to endorse Mitt Romney, but is that really true? That certainly has not happened at this point. So the next play is what happens in Florida. Florida is big. Remember Romney the last time around in South Carolina in 2008. In 2008, the eventual nominee, John McCain, he was the one who won. And we know the saga there with Sarah Palin and then running. But remember, Romney tried to downplay the results back then, and then eventually jumped out of the race. Now, Florida becomes so pivotal to every single one of them. I mean, this is in 2008, this is now. And that endorsement from Jeb Bush, some of the pushes around the state, which is it's a very odd state, Florida, the way the voting is blocked off. The Cuban-American vote is one. The more liberal areas of the states, if you will, I don't want to say liberal, but conservative lights, I'll call it, conservative lights, and the older population and who they would vote for, the Republicans, who they would vote for. So this gets very, very interesting, very interesting to see what happens. And Romney releasing his tax returns is probably a very smart thing to do. And remember, you've got the president who's going to have the State of the Union address coming up this week, and then all the major players in the primaries, all the four that are left, I'm certain will take parts of that address and go after what the economic speeches, because that's mostly what it's going to be in Obama's State of the Union address. He's going to talk about the jobs and all that sort of stuff. I'm certain of that. That's already been the line that's been released from the White House. So the attacks are going to be based on, I think the attacks are going to be based on the economy. And for Romney, what they're going to go after with Newt Gingrich, since Gingrich went after him for Bain Capital and the tax returns, they're going to go after Freddie Mac and what he had to do with Freddie Mac, because that's very unpopular with conservatives, and he worked for Freddie Mac. And they're going to probably have more details on that. All right, this is the mailbag, so I went off on a tangent as usual. Let's go to another one. Here's one from Dave listening to us in Vermont. Dave says, "Hello, Kate. I just have to say I listened to your cheap movie reviews, and I went to see one of the movies over the weekend. I would say thumbs up to Haywire. Michael Douglas is in it. A whole bunch of names that you would recognize are part of it, and it's a wild twist at the end. I think you said you like spy movies and espionage and that kind of thing, so you would really, really, really like it." Yeah, it fared pretty well, I think, at the box office. There's some pretty good movies out. The last couple of weeks we've had some good movies to talk about, including another one was Red Tails, and that movie is starting to pull people in, and that movie was produced by George Lucas, his own money in it, because none of the studios wanted it, to the tune of $100 million and another $35 million, I think, he had to put on top of that to promote the film. All right, we're talking football next. Did anybody nail the score? Oh, I know you're on your edge of your seat. You'll find out next.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Weatherford takes the snap. Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Williams tossed it up on the return, and the Giants have recovered it. Knocked out by Jaquan Williams and recovered by the Giants. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out. Snap is low. Kick on its way. It's got the distance, and it is good! And Lawrence Tynes has done it again. He's kicked the Giants to the second Super Bowl in 4 years. And the Giants in overtime have won the NFC Championship. The final score is 20-17.
A 32-yard field goal attempt from the right hash mark. Kick on the way. It is long enough. And it's no good. He hooked it wide to the left. And a collective sense of utter despair lines the Patriots and the Ravens sideline.
Snap, ball down. Kick up.
He hooked it. No good. No good. He missed it. He missed it from 32 yards out. He missed it from 32 yards out with 11 seconds left in the game. And the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. We're going easy. How about that?
Wow, what a day to be a football fan. What a day to watch these two games, the AFC and the NFC Championship game, the New England Patriots and the Giants in a rematch of Super Bowl 27. and so close down to the waning moments. What's really interesting is the Ravens, I think, should have won their game, and I think San Francisco should have won their game against the Giants, but it didn't happen, and they were able to take advantage of miscues by both teams, meaning the Giants were able to do that, and so was New England. So it sets up the same thing that we saw in 2007, one of the best Super Bowls I think that I've ever seen. Matt, you were watching these games, just incredible. I mean, the finishes were amazing. Kundiff missing the kick, brutal. He just hung his head down. I think he must just feel like the most miserable person right now. And then the finish of the other game, too, is just crazy.
Yeah, I think both games, you could say, were very entertaining games. And in both of those games, I'd say the two teams that won kind of backed their way in and actually should have lost. If you look at it, the Niners, they had that the two muff punts the fumbles at the end of the game, and then the Bradshaw play where they say he had forward progress and he was stopped, but really I think that was a fumble, and I think the Niners would have won. And then if you look at the Ravens and the Patriots, they had that. I don't know. It seems to me at the end of the game, that was a touchdown, the pass that got knocked away, but he had the ball, put 2 feet down, and the way the NFL reviews touchdowns these days, I think if that was reviewed, they would have called it a touchdown. The Ravens would have won, but either way, we're having a repeat of the Giants and Patriots, and that was an awesome Super Bowl, when was that, 3 or 4 years ago, so hopefully it'll live up to the hype again.
Yeah, I think it'll live up to the hype, and I think it'll be billed as that. And I like the idea of the rematch.
I would have rather seen the Harbaugh brothers go at it, though.
I would have, too. And they had the chance, and that's what's so sad. Boy, they really had the chance. At least the games were interesting. They weren't blowouts. If you invested all of your time into watching these games during the day, you didn't waste your time because it was edge-of-your-seat stuff. And this was we used both games as the nail-the-score games. We gave everybody the added chance. And so close, but nobody nailed the score. George and Kentucky had the 49ers 21-17, the closest of everyone. People surrounded the scores. I had New England winning 38-24. Boy, was that wrong. And I had the Giants winning 27-21. So people surrounded the scores, but nobody actually nailed the score. So once again, we've got the prize closet full for the next time around, which will be the Super Bowl. And remember, you have the week in between. But I think that you weren't disappointed by what you saw. And as I said, at least we know we have the prize closet for somebody really full when somebody wins this. But I think it's about bragging rights. You want to brag that you won. You want to brag that you nailed the score because it's such a difficult thing to do. Hey, speaking of difficult things to do, boy, what is more difficult than singing the Star Spangled Banner in front of thousands of people? Steven Tyler, who is, you know, he's a guy, he's got some lung capacity. I think of Sweet Emotion and some of the other hits that come out of the lips of Steven Tyler. Listen to his rendition of the Star Spangled Banner at the AFC Championship matchup.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the Rockies stretched as bomb bursting in air. Our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet
If he was an American Idol, what would you give him, Matt? How would you score Steven Tyler?
I don't watch that show, so I don't know the scoring system, but I definitely say that was a fail. I've heard him sing live. I mean, it's obviously from years ago, and I don't know what has happened, but his voice is kind of shot, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I think it's the high notes of the Star Spangled Banner that don't work for him either.
But
and
he
that,
used to
that
hit those super high notes in the what is it? I can't remember what song that is. Love in an Elevator or one. There was one song where
Love in an Elevator.
Yeah, but he had a couple songs where he would go up super high, and it's just his range isn't there anymore.
Yeah, it's certainly not for that song, definitely. Not the worst rendition I've ever heard. Carl Lewis did a terrible job at the Star Spangled Banner years ago when he did it. Of course, Roseanne, in an effort to be funny, when she did it at the San Diego Padres a long time ago, was a terrible version of it. But it's certainly nowhere in the top five I would put Steven Tyler when it comes to singing the Star Spangled Banner. It is a very hard song to sing, but when you're a professional singer, I think you have a little bit of an edge, and I don't think he really carried it off. I don't know, maybe you think I'm being too harsh. Who do you think sings the best Star Spangled Banner? Send me a note at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. There are just certain people whose voices are made for that and are excellent, and they seem to nail it every single time. And if he's losing his voice, it's not quite as good, or it was just too high, I'm not sure, but I didn't think it was good, but the crowd loved it.
Dream On, that was the song I was thinking of.
Dream On, that's a great song. Yeah, Dream On is good, that's a classic. So maybe you should stick to the classics. The people, of course, at Gillette Stadium, though, liked it. He certainly would have a big fan base there. He's from the New England area, and he's known because of the American Idol thing and all of the years of touring. So Tyler has a base, but it was a good thing that they were generous to him because he did get the applause, and it's tough. Hey, just a quick re-rack for you. So Gingrich wins in South Carolina. That's a big story over the weekend. We'll see what happens now in Florida. There's some time before the end of the month, and people are going to definitely be maneuvering. And speaking of maneuvering, a U.S. aircraft carrier sailed through the Strait of Hormuz. That just happened a while ago, and into the Gulf without any kind of an incident over the weekend on Sunday. And it was a day after Iran backed away from a threat to take action if an American carrier returned to that waterway. That is big news, and we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, a little bit more this week. Remember, send your thoughts to us at americatonight.net.